Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Well, it is good to be here tonight with you guys. Again, I want to say thanks to any visitors that we have with us tonight. And also, if you are here and you're new, I'd love to meet you. Please come up after service tonight so we can chat for a minute. So as Pastor Don said, Pastor Jim did have an unexpected death in the family, so he is in Canada. And so I got the word a couple of days ago that I'd be up here with you guys. And for most of you, you know that I've been a pastor for about a year, so I'm pretty new at this. So when Pastor Jim called me and asked me to speak on Wednesday, I said, and that was about it. And then I asked, so what were you going to speak on? And he said, singleness. I was like, okay, all right, singleness. And just to give you a little insight into my life, I was texting my sister, and I told her what I was speaking on tonight, and her verbatim text to me is this: ha, 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 period. That sounds so fun, exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark. You have only been single for like 5 minutes of your whole life. Followed by four crying laughing emojis. So, at least I have one person's confidence in tonight, right? So then I wanted to speak with Pastor Don on Monday morning, and because I was just a little bit anxious. What am I going to do here? And I was kind of hoping maybe he would just say, would you like me to speak, Anthony? I can do it. We kind of started that way, but then clearly I lost that battle because I'm up here with you now. So just kidding. I'm glad to be here. I'm happy I'm here. I'm happy you guys are all here as well. Let's start by reading from some scripture, shall we? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17 says, "So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for this group of people. We pray, God, that you would open our hearts and our minds to what you have for us tonight. Lord God, speak through me and just be with us tonight in your name. Amen. So as my sister so gently reminded me that I have virtually no experience being single, I decided that I would chat with a couple of friends of mine that happened to be single earlier this week. And I just kind of wanted to pick their brain and kind of maybe understand some of the things they go through as single people in the culture that we live in, and more specifically, the church culture that we live in, and how it views singleness. And so the first thing I asked them, though, was give me some of the worst things you've either heard or been asked. And so here are some things that they said. First one was, "All of your friends are married. Why aren't you?" Ow. And this one that we decided to call the unsolicited pity prayer offer: "I'll be praying someone comes into your life soon." This one, "Your ministry," this is good. "Your ministry is really good, but it's going to be great when you're married." And this one, in particularly coming from someone they don't know well: "I'm going to set you up with," said person. And then this one was kind of interesting. When someone in a leadership position says publicly, "I would be nothing without my wife." This was an interesting one for me because I've probably been guilty of saying something like that from right here before, I'm sure. And, because it comes from a place of kind of a silly way of honoring my wife. But they said, though, that it can kind of further the notion that I'm more a whole person because of my marriage, and would then imply if you don't have a spouse, then you're not completely whole. So that was interesting. That was probably one of the more serious ones, you know, when we look at it from that perspective, how that can actually be somewhat hurtful. And that kind of showed me is that a lot of this stuff in our society and our church culture can be kind of subtle things that are said or subtle attitudes about singleness that usually don't come necessarily from a bad place, but can still be very hurtful and can further the culturally negative views on singleness. So this tells me personally, and maybe as a church, that we need to change our mindset a little bit and our overall view of marital status. And I'll tell you why. In 2014, the Pew Research Center did a U.S. religious landscape study. And within this study, when you look at the marital status of evangelical Protestants, it showed that only 55% were in a traditional marriage. 18% had never been married at all. 14% were either divorced or separated. 8% were widowed. And the other 5% were living with a partner. Now, I'll let Pastor Jim preach on that one. Now, this wasn't, you know, a huge sample size by any means when you kind of looked at the studies, but and it's now been 5 years since they did that. But it does give us a sense of the multitude of reasons, whether these people, you know, they chose to be single or are looking for somebody or they've been widowed they've been divorced. There are a high number of single evangelical Protestants. And Central Assembly is no exception. We have them here. So we see these stats, and you can take them for however you'd like. But the fact remains is that there are all types of marital statuses within our church and within the Big C church. Yet so much in our society is structured around couples and is structured around marriage. It kind of leaves out singles. And it kind of assumes that adults will have a partner and that there's something maybe kind of odd about them if they don't for any period of time. And in my experience, it sometimes seems a little bit worse in the church at times. We almost want people to be married a little bit more for whatever reason. But this is actually a worldly viewpoint. It's not biblical. And we need to be better as Christians. We can be better. I know I can. In fact, in 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about being unmarried as a gift. In chapter 7, verse 7, he says, "I wish that all of you were as I am." As I am, meaning unmarried. "But each of you has your own gift from God. One has his gift, another has that." And Paul goes on to give some reasons for this. And he notes that the biggest advantage to being unmarried is to be fully devoted to Christ instead of having to fulfill, you know, your biblical duties to a spouse. And so listen to Paul say this in 1 Corinthians later on in that chapter 7. "An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs," so how he can please the Lord. "But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided." So, you know, you could take this and say, well, Paul doesn't like marriage. Oh no, what are we going to do? I don't think he's saying that. I don't think he thinks marriage is bad. I think he's simply making the case that singleness is not second best to marriage. And just like marriage, singleness is a gift. So we need to stop treating singleness as second class or looking at people who are single as somehow less than those who find themselves a spouse and marry. And one thing that really stuck out to me when I was talking to my friends, they said, however people feel about their singleness, those feelings are valid. However they feel about their singleness, those feelings are valid. We need to validate their feelings about that. So I want to talk to three different groups of people in this room, and I think it will encompass everyone. If it doesn't, I'll be confused. Number one, to the person who's not married, and at this point has no desire to get married. Today, right now, has no desire to get married. Please know from a biblical standpoint, that is completely okay. Don't let the pressure of this culture make you feel differently. Lean on Paul's words from 1 Corinthians. It's a gift. Don't let someone else's uncomfortability with your singleness make you feel uncomfortable. Know that you are a whole person. And no matter what anyone may say to you or make you feel, being married is not the equivalent to being whole. We can only be whole through a relationship with Jesus Christ. So back to our first, one of the verses of our first scripture in 2 Corinthians, it says, therefore, if anyone in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. It doesn't say, therefore, if anyone who is married and is in Christ, it's anyone. He and only he can make us whole. So married person or unmarried person who does not have that desire, continue to seek God for that wholeness and not what the world says is whole. The second person I'd like to talk to tonight is to the person who is not married but does have a strong desire to be married. Please know that that is also perfectly okay. In Philippians 4, verse 6 through 7, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Present your requests to God. It's okay for you to ask God to bring you someone to marry. Present that request to God. Have that desire, because as long as you're seeking God, he will give you the desires of your heart, as the word says. So don't let anyone ever tell you that the fact that you want to be married is wrong either. But also remember what Paul says a couple of verses later in that chapter in verse 11. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. So find contentedness in your situation and in your singleness. Stay in the Lord. He will provide that strength, because again, you do not need a spouse to be made whole. The third person I'd like to talk to, and I fall into this category, to those of us who are married. First off, know that marriage is still a beautiful thing and that you've been given a great gift that needs to be stewarded and taken care of. We're not talking bad about marriage tonight. But also, us who are married, let's be careful about the things we say to those who aren't married. Let's be careful about the subtle attitudes that may come across to those who aren't married. Let's begin to view people the way Jesus viewed people. Look at a single person as a whole person and not someone that will hopefully find a spouse one day. As Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians, marriage is a worldly thing. It's not a wrong thing. It's not sinful. And it may very well be God's will for your life, but it is a worldly point of view. And also, don't put unnecessary walls up between you and a single person, because we need to feel comfortable to be in relationship with people who are different from us. We need to be comfortable to be in relationship with people that make us uncomfortable. In other words, don't be afraid to have a variety of community. Should a married father of three kids be able to relate to a single guy? I think so. I also just need more friends. But that's how Jesus lived his life, constantly breaking those cultural barriers like this. Those things that said, you got to be this way, he broke those all the time. He leveled the playing field to show that we're all in the same family. So let's use his example and look at all people in the image of him as he does with us. And let's ask God to love through us so we can stop putting titles on people and instead encouraging our brothers and sisters in their own identity in Christ. And speaking of identity, I think it all kind of comes down to that. It comes down to identity, because we as humans spend a lot of time seeking our identity in the wrong things, the things of the world. We idolize our careers. We idolize material things that we have or that we don't have, or we idolize our marital status. How many of us find our identity, good or bad, in being a married person? How many find their identity, good or bad, in being single or being a divorcee or a widow or widower? But these are all worldly concerns. This is us finding our identity in what the world has to offer us. And we don't have to live this way. Because in John, 1 John 2:15 through 17 says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." If we're not seeking to find our identity in Christ alone, then we're seeking it in something else. It's that plain and simple, and we're seeking it in worldly things. But when our identity is in Christ, we won't be crushed by failures and weaknesses, and we won't fall into the pride of our successes. We won't get lost seeking the attractive, but simply empty things that the world offers, because Christ gives us eternal hope in a world of hopelessness. And the great part is that we as a church body get to help each other do this. In our main verse, back to 2 Corinthians, I won't read that yet, but it is the foundation of our second core value here at Central, Attentive Eyes. And we explain Attentive Eyes like this: God looks on each person as his beloved creation. We ask God to give us his eyes when we see others. We search out those who are broken and need healing from our Savior. We look for those who need a friend, and we show them his love. We believe everyone is called and included in God's purpose to redeem our world. That's how we define attentive eyes at Central Assembly. So let's read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 again. "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here." How many of us identify other people based on worldly things? We have to stop doing this, because our job as the body of Christ is to encourage and lift each other up, to find ourselves in the image of Jesus and not in any image of this world. So let's not get hung up on what makes us feel uncomfortable about someone else's decisions. Instead, let's encourage each other to find ourselves in the image of Christ and support each other in that. And let's ask God to give us his eyes when we see others. And to close, I just want to say, your identity is not your marital status. Your identity is not single. It is not married. It's not a widower. Your identity is not a divorced single mom of three children. That's not your identity. Identity is in Jesus. Because in the end, whether you have a spouse or you don't, it's just you standing before the throne. It's just you that has to answer for the ways that you stewarded your gifts and that you loved others. And that's the beauty of it all, is the end there, because many who are presently single one day will marry, some will not, but no Christian is single forever. Because human marriage reflects the marriage God wants to enjoy with his people forever. And the Bible speaks of Jesus as the bridegroom who will one day return to take his bride, the church, us, to be with him in the perfect new creation. On that day, pain will disappear, And in Revelation, it says, God will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and a great shout will be heard. And I'm going to end with this scripture from Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Let's pray.